All right, tonight we're in the, I'm going to start back up a little bit into this third chapter, maybe even into the second chapter of Hebrews for a little bit. Contrasting what we are studying on Sunday morning in the Gospel of Matthew, we see the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that public ministry, he was dealing with Jews under the law. And people, because they'd been deceived by the lie of the devil, which is that you can be like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. So this is the grand deceit. And every religious system in the world is based upon that deceit. And even in the realm of the truth, when the Jews were the custodians of the truth, and now in the church age, when we're the custodians of the truth, there's more emphasis placed upon the lie of the devil as being something good than there is upon the grace of God, that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And I'm going to cover some of the material that I covered last time because, I got maybe, 35, 40 minutes into my message and it stopped. And looked at it and it looked like somebody had sneezed on the back of it and I touched it with my finger. Next day I got the flu. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, it's good to be able to speak without hacking my head off. But let's get the perspective now. In our Lord's public ministry, he never dealt with the church. You know, not until after he was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, and they told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the Spirit of God. And so God sent forth his Spirit, and God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that what? We're his. Yeah. Now, from my perspective, looking at me at any point in time, if I'm honest with myself, I'd have to say there's nothing in me that could give me any assurance of having a right relationship with God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You know, in other words, salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we've done. It's according to God's mercy that he saved us. And when we think about it, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It doesn't say, oh, we got one over here, or we got one over there. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the only person in the scriptures who could keep the law and who did keep the law was God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. See, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but he came to fulfill the law and all righteousness. And then he came just like when the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. I've heard people, I saw it in the Bible colleges I attended, this dedication to serving the Lord, you know, rah-rah team, let's go. You know. But man doesn't know how weak he is. You know. This is not an excuse to sin. it's why we sin. Because we have a fallen nature. And even when we're saved and now indwelled by the Spirit of God, we now have a sin nature as we always have had, but now we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God and have the capacity, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, have the capacity to understand spiritual truth. The natural man or the unsaved man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So our job in the world as we preach the gospel is, think about it, it's called the foolishness of preaching. Now, what could be more foolish, you know, than to talk to a group of people who can't understand the word that you're saying and say, okay, now this is how you enter into heaven. And they don't understand. And the natural man thinks in terms of what he received when Eve was deceived and when Adam willfully ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all think according to a way which seemeth right unto a man. Every religious system in the world is based upon that lie. You know, and so I've been emphasizing this for several weeks now, and I think it's maybe that's why that CD failed last week, right? Punching at home, and all of a sudden we haven't got any sound. But the idea is that the devil really doesn't want us to know what we are. You know, by nature we're sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And with that nature that we have, we can't please God, because it says, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. So we have to bring what Jesus is teaching to the Jews under the law. You know, they were under the law, and we were in that old covenant relationship of law. And what were the Jews to do when they failed under the law? Well, God gave them a sacrificial system. If you read the book of Exodus from the 20th chapter to the end of the book, there's five times as much information about the other thing that Moses got on the mount besides the tablets of stone. And if you'd ask the general church members, you know, saved or unsaved, if you ask them, what did Moses receive besides the law? Most people couldn't tell you. But what he received was the pattern of the tabernacle. And the pattern of the tabernacle, make me a tabernacle that I may do what? Dwell with you. Okay, then when Jesus Christ came into the world, he's born of a woman, born under the law. He's related to us, but without a sin nature, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and all the blood that came into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ came from his Father, just like the blood that flows in our veins comes from our Father. Therefore, we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. The sin nature is conveyed, you know, father to son, father to daughter. Now, the woman can't transfer her nature to her child. That's the importance of the virgin birth. You know, so, you know, God promised, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name what?
Emmanuel.
Now we have it spelled with an E one place and with an I another. I can't remember whether it's older or new. I think it's E in the New Testament, I in the Old. But I can't be certain at this point in time. But Emmanuel means what?
God with us.
So, God with us. Now, why does God have to be with us? Well, he had to be born into this world as a Jew, because God gave the Jews the law. He gave the Jews the sacrificial system. And the sacrificial system is the solution to a failed law. And the law is going to be failed because there's not a just man upon the earth that does what? That doeth good and sinneth not. So, you know, people, you know, I've had people raise accusing fingers at me. Rightfully so. I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one is proud of their sins. But if we say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So all of this pretense, you know, And it really runs heavily in the Bible colleges and seminaries and so forth. They're going to make little Christ to go out and save the world. Well, how are you going to do that? Since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. No one's going to be saved by my life. I'm called of God to preach. I'm told to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in and of myself, I can't understand the word of God. But the Spirit of God indwells me, as he indwells all believers. And each of us do not have all of the same spiritual gifts. And a pastor, of necessity, has to have gifts of discernment to be able to tell. I can remember Sarah Cagle. She was a lady that lived in Bellflower, California. And she was a delightful woman. But to say that Sarah was penurious, cheap, no, she wasn't. She was a hard worker. And what she'd do is go out and collect bottles and save up enough money to go on a vacation for, And as it ended up, Sarah owned most of Bellflower. But, when she had to have a mastectomy and they removed her breast, she just took some of Chuck's socks, how you roll them up, stuck them in her bra. That's good enough. But Sarah loved the truth. And she said to Brother Stewart one time, "Brother Stewart, when you preach, you make it so simple. But when I read it myself, I can't see it." Well, that wasn't any fault with Sarah. It's not any fault with any of us if we can't see it. Because we do not all have the gift of discernment. That's one thing that a pastor has to have. And what kind of winds my clock a little bit is why that so many, let's put it this way. I wrote that little article a number of years ago on the sin, and we find sin with this in the singular with a definite article 30 times between the 5th chapter of Romans and the 12th verse and the 8th chapter of Romans and the 3rd verse. And in the Greek, it's preceded by the definite article. But in our English translation, not one of those articles are translated. And yet, Paul only used that construction. He wrote, the greater number of books of the New Testament. Luke wrote more words. In Acts and Luke, there are more words than in all of Paul's epistles, but Paul wrote more books. And but he only used that construction 3 times in other places. And James used it a few times, and John used it a few times, and all of this type of thing. But, with respect to foreign languages, we would say White House. The Spanish would say Casa Blanca. Blanca means white, Casa, so house white. And I can remember a woman used to come to the church. She was Mexican descent, and her kids said, "Mom, you talk backwards." But with a conjugated language, there's a tendency to do that thing. So anyway, what we're contrasting all the way through the Word of God is what happened in the Garden of Eden. When you read a book, you read the introduction, or maybe the author just starts with chapter 1. And what do you normally do when you are writing a book, you set forth things that you intend to cover as you progress through the book. So what do we have in Genesis? In Genesis, we have a description: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that beginning, we don't know how long ago it was. The Carl Sagans can have as many eons and eons that they need. But we didn't evolve, So God created the entire universe, okay? He did it at a point in time. When that was, we don't know. But God spoke it into existence. And so then we get an idea, okay, what kind of a God have we got? Well, the scripture speaks of omniscience. Omniscience means there isn't anything that can be known, is known, or ever shall be known that hasn't always been known to God. That's omniscience. Omnipotence. There isn't anything that God has limited so that he has the power to do anything that's consistent with his will. And omnipresence, he's everywhere present at once. How big is space? Well, however big it is, there's no place where God isn't. He has to be able to superintend his entire creation. Okay. So that doesn't, we think in time and space. And so it's difficult for us to think in those kind of terms. But it's difficult for us to think that way. It's interesting when you go to a Bible college, one of the first things that they teach you in doctrine, you got a class in theology or a class in doctrine, which means teaching, or something of that sort. And they always start out with the attributes of God. And they talk about the attributes of God, and you have to memorize them and all that type of thing. And after you do that, then they say, forget them. They don't actually say forget them. But in terms of practice, they do forget them, because they want to make God, Adam was created in God's image. God wasn't created in Adam's image. So then when Eve was deceived, God warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's amazing to me that there isn't more curiosity about what is a knowledge of good and evil. Well, that's man's sense of right and wrong. And what are all the religions of the world based upon? Man's sense of right and wrong. And what was the tree that Eve was told, the serpent was tempting her, and God warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? That's the knowledge of right and wrong. And so this tree is presenting to the world a sense of right and wrong, but not from God. God didn't plant that tree. It's planted by the devil. And every religious system in the world is predicated or based upon what man can do for God. Biblical Christianity, biblical Judaism is based upon a sacrificial system in which God, in his infinite love and mercy, ultimately becomes a man through the virgin birth, so that as a man he can live his life as a Jew under the law. So Jesus had to be born as a Jew. God didn't give the law to the whole world. He just gave it to the nation of Israel. And what did they say when it was given to them? All that the Lord has spoken, we will what? We'll do. Now, anybody with a sense of self, let's go back to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Okay. Now, anyone with any sense of themselves, and I'll illustrate this as we go. And God spake all these words, verse 1, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's one God. But as far as the world is concerned, there are what? Infinite numbers of gods. Yeah. But there's only one true and living God. And he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You know, I wonder if that means you can't wear a cross around your neck. Isn't that an image? Yeah. The cross, yeah, to us it's precious. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter. Excuse me. As a shelter in which we can hide. But, you know, the cross was a cruel rack. And it ordinarily took from 24 to 36 hours for a person to die by crucifixion. Ultimately, you die of exhaustion. You're, you know, nailed to the cross. And your feet are on a pedestal, you know. And as you hang there and the body stretches out, you can see all, you know, just as the description is back in the Psalms of the crucifixion of our Lord. You know, they gape and stare upon me. They can see all my bones, you know. And after a while, the chest will lock up. And in order to breathe, you have to push up with your feet, you know. And it ordinarily takes about 36 hours to die. Jesus was on the cross how long? Just 6 hours. What did he say? No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to what?
Take
it up again. And so, you know, he was crucified as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah. And he's Christ our Passover, his sacrifice for us. And the sacrifice of the Passover lamb was the way the Jews were delivered from Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world. So how are we delivered from this present evil system? By the blood of the Christ our Passover. Yeah. And so he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But Jesus never taught the Jews or anyone else that they could be right before God by the lives that they lived. He did use the law lawfully, though. And what is the lawful use of the law? It's designed to condemn. So he told the Jews in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect. You want to be justified by law? All you have to do is be perfect. Okay. So, you want to know why the Jews hated him? They had a system all worked out that made themselves think. That made them think they were justified before God by the law, lives that they led. And they missed the point. Anyway, the Jews missed the point. Excuse me.
You want to take a minute, Ted?
Pardon me?
Do you want to take a minute?
Okay. We can make it now. I think. I was hoping I wouldn't get on a coughing jag.
We've got enough.
Make me afraid, no? Okay. Sorry about that. Every time I try to preach this message, the devil keeps messing me up.
Speaking out.
Because it's so important for us to realize that no one can be justified before God by their behavior. Oscar, would you get me a glass of water, please?
Sure.
All right. No one can be justified by the lives that we live. The scripture says we've all sinned and done what?
Come short of the glory of God.
Come short of the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? It's Jesus Christ. So, in order to go to heaven, you have to be like Jesus Christ. But you can't make yourself that way. You know, we can't control our thoughts. We can't control our actions. Why? Because we have a sin nature. And that sin nature operates in us so that all of this talk about holy living is, it's the devil's lie. You know, it's saying to Eve, Elohim, doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be like Elohim. You know, it's translated, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be like the gods. You know, but it's the same word, Elohim. And Elohim is the plural form of El. Okay? So, you can be like God by disobeying God. God said not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, ask yourself this question. If you went to college and had to take comparative religion classes, what was the basis of comparison? They're all based upon some form of morality. You know, where did that form of morality come from? You know, I looked up a while back and said that there are, they say 4,000 moral systems in the world. I says, more accurately, there are as many moral systems in the world as there are people in the world.
Yeah, there you go. A way that seems right into a man.
Yeah. And man, you know, it's good for me, but not for you or whatever.
Accusing.
So, what Jesus was doing in our studies in Matthew was dealing with people who said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And they couldn't, you know. And they said, we will not have what? This man to reign over us. Who was revealed in the sacrificial system? Jesus Christ. I've been doing all good all day long, and all of a sudden... Oh, that's better. Okay. But that moral system.
You want me to finish?
Right? No, we're good.
Okay.
The moral system that we're dealing with, though, that's the way man thinks. And all of the religions of the world, you can't say anything against one over the other, you know. But man thinks according to a
way that seems right.
Well, I want to put it this way. An edited version of what seems right. You know, edited to his advantage. Okay. So when Jesus was teaching in the you know, Matthew wrote about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was dealing with Jews under the law. And 5:48 says, be therefore perfect. That's all you have to do to be accepted of God by law. And even that wouldn't take care of it, but you can't be. It's an impossibility. So we get into the book of Hebrews now. And our studies in Hebrews, we're still dealing with Jews, and we have to go back and modify their thinking and get them to realize that they don't have a relationship with God because they're Jews. They have a relationship with God because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you can't really blame the Jews for hating the name Christ, because the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, so many different denominations under the canopy of Christianity called the Jews Christ killers. But what did Jesus say? No man takes my life from me. He had to die. If he didn't die and conquer death, what? We're yet in our sins. I'm going to move away from the law and go back to our text. Okay.
Back to Hebrews 3, aren't
you? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 3. Okay. Now, let's begin in the latter part of chapter 2, where it says, in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Jesus was the member of the Godhead that was active in creation. So everything that's been created was created for him and by him. Okay? That's chapter 2 and verse 10. By whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain or the author of their salvation perfect how?
Through suffering.
Through suffering. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. For both he that sanctifies us, or sets apart, and they who are set apart, sanctified, are all of one. For which cause? Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is not ashamed to call you and me, what?
Brethren.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it. There's nothing good in us. You talk about, this is grace, pure grace. Unmerited favor all the way. So, saying, I will declare thy name in verse 12 unto my brethren in the midst of the assembly. The word church is ecclesia. And we're really talking not about the church here, but about the nation of Israel and its assembly. Okay. And in the midst of the assembly will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So God the Father gave to the Son certain ones that he was going to bring to salvation. That's you, that's me, and it's every other believer in this world. And many people, sadly, like the Jews, have said in their heart, we will not have this man to reign over us. They think we can do it ourselves. So the grand deception, and we see it in politics, no matter how rotten the politician is, he's always moral. It's such a, when we look at the human condition and see how that man has always tried to justify himself by the life that he lived, and no one can. See, that's why salvation is by grace through faith. So, for as much then as the children are the partakers of flesh and blood, you know, God created Adam. Then he took a rib from Adam's side and created Eve. And then we're born into this world by procreation. And so the blood that flows in our veins came from our father. Therefore, since Adam has a sin nature, we have a sin nature. Yeah. And just because we're saved, we don't get rid of that sin nature. Yeah. That's not an excuse to run the full gamut of your desires, but it just tells you sometimes who you really are. And when we think about it, that one fact ought to remove any thoughts of self-righteousness from everyone. You know, it doesn't, but it should. So he goes on to say, and deliver them. Well, I left out a little bit. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who's that? The devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So, all believers, Jews and Gentiles, are counted to be the seed of Abraham. You know, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so God portrayed that to Abraham when he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and get thee into a mount that I'll show you, and offer him therefore as a burnt offering. What does that mean? Put him to death. You know? And so Isaac has been bound to the altar. Abraham is about to slit his throat. And, you know, I see the fire and all of the things necessary for a sacrifice. But where is the lamb? And what does God say? God shall provide himself. Put the emphasis on himself, because Jesus is God himself that was presented as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's not a sacrifice any of us could make. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And deliver them, in verse 15, who through fear of death, and people do fear death, you know, but as you know, you grow in the things of the Lord. You realize there is no reason to fear death. You know, because the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to depart and be with Christ is what?
Far better.
It's not just better, it's far better. Okay? And then he says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Yeah. Do we see anything good in Abraham? Not really. Do we see anything good in the Jews? Not really. Do we see anything good in ourselves?
No.
Not really. Okay. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation. It's the Greek word hiloskomai. Hiloskomai means to make a propitiation, or God is satisfied with the sacrifice on the altar with its shed blood. For in that he himself has suffered, being tried, translated tempted, he is able to succor or comfort them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, you know, as the sent one, and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Christ is our high priest. You know, we're going to see later as we get into the book of Hebrews, we're going to contrast the Levitical priesthood with the ministry of Jesus Christ. They made offerings year after year continually, and not one of those offerings that they made could ever take away sin. But it pointed the Jews, with understanding, to the fact that God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. For this man, that is Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who... I'm going to change a couple of words here. He who built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is so. It's God. Okay? And Moses, verily or truly, was thankful in all his house as a servant for a testimony to them which were to those things which were to be spoken after. So Moses received the pattern of the tabernacle, and he received the sacrificial system, and he received the law. And the law condemns, but the sacrificial system pointed the nation to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay. When you begin to break this down this way, you begin to see the folly of all the religious systems of the world. They're all dealing with, they're all operating in the evil tree. Now, everything about that tree we wouldn't call evil. It's good and evil. But it can't make you right before God. Okay, and I read that. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. So, Moses had his ministry, and he led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He did it with the blood of the Passover lamb, and Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So what we're seeing by contrasting the Old Testament and the law and the book of Matthew with the New Testament and salvation by grace through faith and the Jews coming into the right relationship with the Lord in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to get this out. All right. So, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? See, if we, or since, since we hold fast our confidence unto rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear his voice, how do we come to salvation? We're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The world doesn't understand what we're saying. We're to preach a message which the world can't understand, and God, by His Spirit and His Word, will make it alive. So there's no such thing as, quote-unquote, winning a soul to Christ. I can't argue anybody into the kingdom of heaven. You can't either. God may use you to speak to someone, and they're saved because you gave them the truth, but it's God that does the saving. Because apart from the work of the Spirit of God, everything that we say is senseless. Makes no sense at all to the natural man. makes complete sense to us in our relationship with the true and living God. How about to stop? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we pray that you'll bless this truth to our hearts and minds, and that we would see ourselves as we are, sinners saved by grace, sinners who have no hope of eternal life, but in Jesus Christ we have hope, we have eternal life, we have it at the present time, and it's so certain you count us already to be in your presence, even though we're still on this earth. We praise you and thank you for these truths now. In Jesus' name, amen.